o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wednesday. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Dal and Wine. Buckeye has to get a new car. He loved his old car.
I loved that car. Man, that's...
Man, I know.
I'm just so depressed about it.
It's been more sadness for you than whining,
yeah.
Really.
I was whining, though. You can ask my soon-to-be wife.
I'm sure you are.
In the ER waiting room. Oh, man. I was not a treat to be around. I usually am not.
But
even more so.
But you really... Well, I heard you when she called me and Karen called me.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Already.
It's like, when okay, he's going to be okay.
I was griping hard at that point. So, yeah. It was not going well.
All right, so today it's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Pyle, you don't have anything to complain about today? Really? There's going to be something that's on your mind today that's kind of
something,
under your
right?
Skin.
Yeah, you know, there's got to be.
Some leftovers from yesterday. We were talking about Stadium Cinema,
mm-hmm.
And you did Sudden Death.
Yes.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Classic.
During the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep.
Or Final, excuse me. We talked about Jean-Claude Van Damme's character being like the worst dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because he takes the kids to the game, and then he goes to fight the bad guys. His daughter gets kidnapped. That's right. The son
he
never...
He tells his son, don't move from this seat, and he doesn't.
With everything that was going on.
Yeah.
The helicopter crashed into the ceiling.
His sister being taken hostage. Nope.
Kid did not move. Did not move a muscle.
You know that movie's fiction because that kid didn't go anywhere.
Most kids gone. They would have been off.
Toast. No, they're out.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here. Are you kidding?
Yeah, Lonnie was a winner yesterday. He's like, he thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Good work, Lonnie. The sun just sat there the whole time.
Yeah.
So, we got some thoughts about the Avalanche tonight. Do they get it done tonight? Do they move on to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since the last time they won the Cup? I think they get it done tonight. I do. I think they finish off the Blues. Most likely take on Edmonton. Edmonton mm-hmm. up 3-1 in their series right now with Calgary. So I've got some predictions on that today. Chris Bryant back on the shelf again. Oh, so far it's...
Chris Bryant. We hardly knew ye.
And is this going to be all we get from Chris Bryant in 2022?
Ooh. I don't know about that.
This going to be a lost season for Chris Bryant in his first year in Colorado? Because we haven't, outside of talking about him when they signed him,
mm-hmm.
we haven't really talked much about him because he hasn't played very much. He's played what? Less than 10 games?
Ooh, I don't know. Let me look that up.
I mean, how many games has he played so far?
He has 17 games.
Oh, he's played 17? Doesn't seem like he's played 17 games.
He's got 63 at-bats.
Doesn't seem like he's had 63 at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like that at all.
No, it does not.
And I think while you and I, when they signed him for the $182 million deal, we're like, it's a little much for Chris Bryant.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I still, it's way too early to go, oh, this is a Ian Desmond-like signing or anything like, because it's not. It's not. But you still kind of go, ooh.
Yeah, like, that's not good.
Not seeing much return on the investment here early on, are we?
No, we're not.
If you're a Rockies fan. I like Chris Bryant. He wanted to come to Colorado. You want guys like that want to play at Coors Field, be part of this organization, be part of trying to get it back to where it's a team that can compete for a wild card.
Right.
You love the passion. You love the enthusiasm about him wanting to be part of the Rockies organization. And then there's the reality that right now the back problem keeps him from being much of a factor or any mm-hmm. factor at all for this team.
And now my question is, how much of a problem was this initially?
Mm-hmm.
Because that starts to creep in, you know, the mind space here a little bit. Is this something that they missed? you know?
Was due diligence not fully completed on this whole thing?
Right. You kind of get that feeling, don't you?
That the back was an issue and it'll be fine. He'll be fine. And you ignored it?
Mm-hmm.
We downplayed it in this case? Like I said, it's too early to view this as any kind of bust, but man, yeah, you have to wonder, Bill Schmidt, what was the level of due diligence on his back injury?
Right.
And what kind of impact that might have on him going forward. We'll see if the Rockies, though, today, they can get a series win on the road. Their last one was in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
which seems like 20 years ago now. They're just their second road series of the season when they went to Detroit.
And, right. Yeah, it's...
And so it was very early on.
And it had to be the Tigers and the Pirates that right. they've beaten on the road. The 14-28 Tigers and the 17-25 Pirates.
And then they swept
higher in their respective divisions than the Rockies are.
With worse records.
With worse records. Thank you, National League. Can we realign at some point? Because this is going to kind of suck. Because even if the Rockies are kind of good, they're going to finish fourth at best.
I mean, they did sweep the two against the Rangers. That's like their quality road
mm-hmm.
series win, right? Is it Texas 18-23?
Hey, how about that?
I'm just stating a fact, man.
Is third.
Yeah.
They're 2.5 games worse than the Rockies, and they're third.
And they're third. Yeah, if you're a Rockies fan, you are screaming for realignment.
Yeah.
You really are. You're really hoping that happens.
Because it's frustrating just on its own right now. Because it's like, man, you take 2 of 3 on the road. It's not like it's a quality road series win or anything.
It's like it's nice as a Rockies fan. Okay, you win a series on the road.
But man alive, this is like, dude, can we get some help here? It's like anything?
Because... But let's just be honest, for the foreseeable future,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't look very good.
Right. And it's not like the AFC West, where conceivably you could finish in last and still make the playoffs. You know, I know Cody said that you can't get 4 teams from the West in, but you can.
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically, you can. You just have to go undefeated outside of your division games, but you can. Theoretically, you can. And in the West, it's like expanded playoffs. That's great, but it doesn't matter if you finish fifth. It's like, who cares if they're, you know, you let 18 teams in the playoffs, but if you finish last in the National League West, you're probably not one of them. Right now, Rockies would be third in the AL West, third in the AL Central. They'd still be, you know, fourth in the AL East. They'd be second in the National League East due to winning percentage. Third in the National League Central. Because the Phillies and the Braves are 20-23.
So when you look around baseball, we talk about how bad the Rockies are right now, right?
Yeah. But I mean, they're grinding out a .500 record almost.
But you look around baseball and there are a lot of teams that have worse records than the Rockies do right now.
I don't know how the Guardians have won 18 games, but they have. They're 18-21.
Yeah.
Got the Royals and the Tigers, though, so that helps. You know, but like the Angels are 27-17. There's a lot of stellar records, and then a bunch of, they're right around .500.
I mean, for the Rockies, right in the American League Central, they would be right there on the cusp of second place.
Mm-hmm.
In the conversation, as far as that the division lead, Twins are playing well. They're 27-16, but
yeah.
Certainly not like where it is right now in the National League West, where the Rockies are already 9 games out of first.
Mm-hmm. They're 9 games out of first in last place. National League East, the Braves are 8 games out of first in second place. Because the Mets are just playing over their heads right now.
Up right now.
I don't know how good they're going to be come Labor Day. But the Mets are kind of fun to watch. You know what I mean?
Come on, who doesn't like Pete Alonso?
I love Pete Alonso.
Frankie Lindor swinging it right now.
You know, they got Sterling Marte, Brandon Nimmo. They got some good pieces.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So we talked about realignment before,
mm-hmm.
and we've kicked around things. And I found another realignment article on one of the variety of websites that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through why we need to get away from the traditional American League, National League, and create four new leagues, if you will.
Yeah.
And look, with interleague play, like we talked about, it really has kind of killed
mm-hmm.
the American League and National League. Now, the DH, it really has. It completely has removed the need for the American League and National League
right.
to exist. And so this article, and I'm trying to see that it's from overtimeheroics.net. Brand name you don't know right. and you don't trust. But we're going to go with this one. Because it's got
content.
Hashtag content. Because it's got some interesting ideas on this. So first off, we'd start with expansion.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to go to 32 teams to create four 8-team leagues. So this is what the person who wrote this article, and his name is Oscar Krumfko. He's created these four leagues. The Eastern League would be Boston, Cincinnati, your Guardians, the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Pirates, and the Blue Jays. That would be the Eastern League.
Okay.
The Southern would be the Atlanta Braves, the Baltimore Orioles. He has the Dominicana Lions, so apparently we're going to go to the Dominican Republic and bring in an expansion team. Okay. No, I don't think so. The Astros, the Marlins, the Nashville Stars, another expansion team, Texas Rangers, Washington Nationals. Central be the Cubs, the White Sox, the Rockies, the Tigers, the Royals, the Brewers, the Twins, and the Cardinals. And then the West would be Arizona expansion, Las Vegas Wranglers, LA Angels, LA Dodgers.
You can give some names. How cute.
Or perhaps it would be, that's going to be maybe the A's. The A's would move to Vegas in his world. Angels, Dodgers, another expansion team, the Mexico City Red Devils, the Padres, the Giants, and the Mariners.
I'm all for the Mexico City team, if only because that means it's only high altitude dated at Coors Field. We'll stop. Yeah,
stop because...
Because they're at like 8,000 feet.
Stop, yeah, stop the whole altitude thing about Coors Field.
I have to dig a hole to put their purple row in.
So it comes down to the whatever's going to happen here moving forward. No, number one, if you're a Rockies fan, you hope some kind of realignment happens.
Yeah.
Because for the foreseeable future,
mm-hmm.
winning the division, forget about it. Being a wild card, almost impossible at this juncture.
I did the realignment. And I put the Rockies in a division with the Twins, the Mariners, and the Cubs, and the White Sox. Rockies would still be third behind the Twins and the White Sox, but a game back of third in that division.
They would be competitive.
They would be competitive. I mean, it's not like they're not competitive now. They're two games under 500. I mean, they have essentially the same record as the White Sox and the Phillies and the Braves, Boston, teams we expect to kind of be competing at the end of the year. The problem is
the division that they're in with who yeah. it's not the Rockies per se, it's
right
who it's else is in that division,
rest of the division, which, you know, the Giants are six back at 23-19.
Padres are game and a half back of the Dodgers
mm-hmm. for now,
and
Padres
and
you know it's true though.
And then the Diamondbacks are 7.5 out, and we thought the Diamondbacks would be the worst team in this division.
There's still time, too.
And there's still time for them to crash.
But they're Torrey Lovello, those guys are scrappy.
Their pitching's been good.
Their pitching's been really good. And is it going to come back to earth? Who knows? You know, but they got three starters with ERAs under 4. Their highest starter is Zach Davies at 4.81. Their worst pitcher right now is Mark Melancon. He's the ERA's north of 7. He's 0-5, but he's got 10 saves. That's a high wire act. I don't know if sustainable or not.
Boy, I wish they could have got Melanson, the Rockies. Yeah. But number one, the Rockies, boy, moving to another division would be great. Number two, for a realignment to happen, there's going to have to be expansion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just absolutely going to have to happen. You've got to get to two more teams for it to really to line up the right way.
And I don't know if that's going to happen because they'd have to bring 8 more minor league teams back after axing a crap load of teams a year or two ago.
And I don't see that happening.
I don't know if they're going to do that. To sustain 2 more teams, I mean, look at the Marlins, the Rays attendance figures. The Rays are pretty good. The Rays are a pretty decent baseball team, but their attendance figures, not really sustainable in that market. Look at the A's. What's going on there?
Now, trying to build a new stadium, mm-hmm. It looks like that's on course to happen.
Right.
But
football, you can expand, fill the stadium. They're 3-14, and now there are 17 games, and there's still 70,000 people there because it's football.
Right.
The Reds are garbage, and no one's there. The Royals aren't very good. No one's there. Oakland isn't great.
But
no one's there.
But even years where they've been decent, been a playoff contender or a playoff team,
they
a wild
still
card.
Tarp off the entire upper deck. I don't know how you're going to get 2 more teams. And it's great. You know what? Hey, Nashville maybe can support a team. Vegas maybe can support a team. I put one in Montreal. No, stop that. They had their chance. They did not come out to support the Expos.
Well, and the Rays, their current lease ends in 2027.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would think barring building a new stadium, which I don't see that happening.
But you got to figure it out
after the Marlins debacle.
Yeah. To me, you got to figure it out at 30 because you can't count on the other two teams being competitive, being willing to spend to be competitive when you already have owners that aren't. You got to figure it out at
31st. I think number one, look at relocating teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I hate to do that to any fan base. But
there's only going to be like 19 people in Miami that are mad about it because there's only 25 people there. And half of them are there because it's inside when it's raining and it's air conditioned. Like, hey, AC, $7. Let's go,
My concern about another team going to Vegas is that market going to get oversaturated?
I don't think so.
It seems like so far, no. It's one
of the fastest growing regions in the country. And I think with now the legalized sports betting, I don't think the leagues are very, there's no more hands off to Vegas. I think seeing the Raiders grow, seeing the Golden Knights, how they came into town. Yeah. I think teams see that
the Aces have had good support, the WNBA team.
I think there's enough, the 51s who are there.
Yeah.
You know, the
you have to have
team.
You got to play indoors, though.
Got to play indoors, but I think there's enough people there. And the problem is, I don't know if there's going to be a fan base for the local team because there's a lot of transplants there.
Yeah, but you're getting a lot of people to watch whoever their favorite team is come in.
Right. But you might get a decent crowd for 20 other teams.
Yeah.
You know, anybody north of Denver that's down there, they'd be like, yeah, I'll go watch the Twins come in for a 3-game series because I'm from Minneapolis or whatever. I think they'd be able to sustain there. They'd do better than they're doing in Oakland right now.
And you keep them in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not worried about, like, say if it's Tampa Bay decides to leave and go to Vegas, and all of a sudden, okay, then now we got to avoid.
Yeah. The only team that hurts is Seattle.
Yeah.
Because now their closest team is in Vegas.
Right. And who else, who else possibly moves? I mean, the Rays are going to, I think, at some point look at moving. And is that Memphis? And it has become the A's go to Vegas. And if the Memphis deal, they get a stadium built, there isn't a group trying to get an expansion team there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that group become part of an effort to get Tampa Bay to move there, buy that team and move them there or whatever? I don't know. But if you're Major League Baseball, relocating teams, a couple of them in particular, Tampa Bay, to me, is probably even more than the A's.
Yeah.
Target number one because of the poor stadium situation. As good as they are, the attendance is not what it should be, man.
No. No, it's not. And you want to look at, you know, metropolitan statistical areas. This is a list on Wikipedia. Las Vegas checks in at 29th right now. Behind, so smaller, less population, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Cleveland, all places with Major League Baseball teams that some level of support.
Right.
When they're good, those houses are full.
Absolutely.
You know, Milwaukee is 40th. They're about 60% population-wise, or about 40% population-wise, smaller than Vegas.
All right, so I like I said, with the Rockies, though, it just seems like it's going to be almost...
Denver's at 19th, by the way.
An impossible task to get out of the National League West.
Yeah.
As a wild card or a division winner.
Maybe relegation is their best bet.
Shh, don't say that. 921, and coming up next, Travis Lalleman, the coach of Crowder, Missouri, is going to join us in a moment. But right now, it's your chance to win a pair of single game tickets to the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. Yes, these are the printed ones. They still exist, folks. But get your tickets, JucoGJ.org. If you don't win them today, we'll take the fifth texter. Please put your first name, last name on your text. Text JUCO on it to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We'll give you a pair of single game tickets. You know what we'll do? Let's do this. We're going to sweeten the pot. We'll do four. So you can take the family. Four single game tickets to the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. Don't forget, you can catch all the games right here on the Team Sports Network. All right, thank you. Okay, so coming up next, we're going to talk some JUCO baseball with Crowder coach Travis Lalleman. That's next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the Team.
And with us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. His team returns to the Junior College World Series back-to-back years, fourth time ever for Crowder College. The Rough Riders winning the South Central District Championship. And with us right now, Crowder coach Travis Lalleman. Travis, how you doing, man? Hello, Travis. I think we're going to have to get Travis off the air because it sounds like, I don't know if he set his phone down or what he did. We'll see. Are we ready? Ready to go here? Okay. Take two. Travis Lalleman, Crowder College coach, joining us. Travis, how you doing?
Doing good, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. We need to clarify for folks. You're on the bus right now, right, coming out here?
Yeah, we're about 190 miles out. So stayed in Lyman, Colorado last night, and always finish out the trip on Wednesday morning, get there, early afternoon.
Well, congratulations on coming back to the Junior College World Series, back-to-back times that you've represented your district, now the South Central, out here at the Junior College World Series. Take us through what it's been like to go through all that planning and to make the trip once again to Grand Junction to play in the series. It's, I'm sure, a lot of work, but it's work like you've always, I'm sure that how you feel about it. It's a labor of love getting back out here, all the preparation to come to Grand Junction.
No question. It's kind of crazy. Not only do we have to prep, pre-prep for this trip, but our district was in New Orleans. So we went down there, got down there Wednesday, early evening, and then practiced on Thursday. We got home Monday because we lost in the championship game, had to take it to the IF game. Got home Monday at 3:00. In time to, get laundry done and get back on the bus at 10 the next morning. And I, all the guys, I said they travel well, and they did. But I told them it's the shortest 16-hour trip they'll ever take in their lives.
Travis Lalleman, the coach of Crowder College, Missouri, with us today on the Team Sports Network. So the seedings came out yesterday, Travis. And unfortunately, because with all this traveling and everything, you won't play until Sunday. When you take on Central Arizona, you got seeded fifth, Central Arizona sixth. Is that the seed? I guess, how do you feel about that seed? To me, you know, it doesn't matter 1 through 10. You got to go through some really good teams to win the national championship. But give me your thoughts about being seeded number 5.
Yeah, you know, first of all, just a comment on the entire field of teams. I mean, you got us 53-11 at 5, and Central Arizona 54-12 or whatever they are at 6. And I don't think Anthony or myself could, you know, really make a bid for anything higher with the people in front of us. My goodness, what a field of teams! I don't know if it gets any better than this. This year, you know, 5-51 teams, 6 returning teams, and, you know, I think you can not necessarily throw it out the window, but each game, I mean, this is going to be one of the more competitive on paper that I've seen. So, you know, I thought that, you know, if X, Y, or Z happened, that the highest we could hope for this year would be 3, more realistically 4, but I did think the lowest we would get would be 5. You know, and so I think we're right where I think the seating committee did a good job.
And like I said, with the travel to play Delgado, New Orleans, and everything that's been going on for you guys playing on Sunday, boy, regardless, you have to be thrilled with that because it gives you that extra day to get acclimated and get a little bit of rest.
Yeah, I mean, we played in the offset. I call it the offset bracket in 2010 back when it was a 7:30 game, you know, so I think 2 teams went home before we even played, which little, you know, different, you know, now, and I think it's better playing the 10 a.m. game. So definitely the day off, I think, with the travel we've had, you know, helps out. But when you're playing a team as quality as Central Arizona, you're going to have to go rest and stuff is important, but we're going to have to go play extremely well. You know, and we have been playing pretty well. We've done, you know, we've seen 5 number ones in 10 games of postseason. So we've been battle tested. Everybody has, though. Like I said last year, everybody's done so much to get here. You know, it's about that game and that 9 innings of baseball that you go play. So that's the exciting thing of this tournament every year. And you know, we're definitely excited to be back out here. We've got a group of guys that, you know, a lot of guys that played on that team last year. So hopefully they can help the new guys and we get away from those really.
And I think we might have hit a. Sure. You still there, Travis? I'm sorry, we lost you for a moment.
Yeah, we're in the tunnel here, so I see daylight. I'm about to come out of it. So.
All right. Well,
hang on. Give me.
We'll give you a second to come out of the tunnel into the daylight here. So. Talking with Travis Lalleman, Crowder College coach. He is on the bus with his Rough Riders coming out to Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series. As I mentioned, Travis, you win your district title. You win the South Central over Delgado. And a guy that's been doing it all season long for you, Josh Patrick, he's been one of your top hitters, been your top hitter in terms of RBIs and home runs this season. He delivered a heck of a performance for you in that championship game over Delgado. Had a couple of RBIs, a 3-hit day, also scored a couple of runs to lead you to that 9-1 victory.
Yes, he did. He's been so consistent all year for us. And, you know, people pitched him really, really tough. I mean, I think he was the guy that there's some fear bats in our lineup this year. And I think he was the guy that at least people in our league and throughout the district were people more familiar with us. That was the guy that kind of sought out and, you know, seemed like they said, hey, this guy isn't going to beat us. And he took his walks. He did, you know, the things. And it was up to the people around him to do, you know, put up the damage swings. But we got in situations where they had to pitch to him Sunday, and obviously you see the numbers he put up. So I think, you know, it's just about the entire lineup working, you know, to get guys in situations to be successful. And Sunday we finally did that, and, boy, we needed to. I mean, Friday was 2 2-run games. You know, we beat Eastern, you know, they're number ones going to LSU, tremendous arm. We beat them 6-4, had some defensive hiccups for the first time in a while, you know, in that game. And then the nightcap, we had the Landry Wilkerson buried a ball in the left field line, and we scored from first. And so first and second, we scored from first to take the lead in the eighth and then finish it off in the ninth. So, I mean, you talk about some competitive baseball. There was no breathe easy moments, and you know, it was nice to have that on Sunday and win with a little cushion.
Well, Travis, it's great talking to you. Looking forward to seeing you when you get out here. Before we let you go, though, we have to acknowledge that while this is a great accomplishment for your family, coming back to JUCO.
Yeah.
Your son Luke Robert, though. We got to give a tip of the cap to Luke Robert, your boy, because he read over 220,000 words this last school year, correct? And so he got recognition for that. So I know, proud dad, you had it out there on the social media. Congratulations to your boy, Luke Robert.
Yeah, I missed his ceremony yesterday. They had a little deal at the elementary school. I missed it because we had to get on the bus. And so I wanted to give him a little shout-out on Twitter, because he's a first grader, he's 7 years old, he's sharp as a whip. So they're getting ready to come out. They're flying out today. So I haven't. We left for Delgado on Wednesday, got back Monday. I saw him for about 8 hours. So I'm looking forward to spending some time with him at the practice field and things like that as well. Like we always talk about, we've kind of made this a family trip, and just very fortunate to be back here again.
Have a safe trip, Travis. We'll see you get out of here.
All right, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right, Travis Lalleman, the coach of Crowder College, Missouri. They'll play the first game on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, over at Saplesio against Central Arizona. That's going to be a tremendous matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
The night game on Saturday is going to be huge. McLennan, yeah, Saint Jack. That's got some sauce to it.
Yeah.
Some good matchups, some really good matchups. Absolutely. In this year's Alpine Bank Junior College World Series.
Smart little Sparky there, 220,000 words.
I know.
That's a lot.
Way to go, Luke Robert. Way to go, young man. All right. Getting it done on the ball field and also getting it done in the classroom, too.
Bring him in here. So show some of the people around here a thing or two about the old reading. One of the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic.
What, you and me? Showing me that? Or
I wasn't going to. I'm not going to say anybody specifically. Definitely not on this particular program.
Oh, okay.
But in studios adjacent, I'll leave that.
Now I'm intrigued on who you think could use a little encouragement to read.
Let's just say if you throw out a name, you're probably right.
Okay.
Doesn't matter who it is.
9:36. It's time.
I'm getting them all. Instead of just JJ and Tyler, just getting them all.
Just going after all of our colleagues.
Yeah. Such a
when you get a crowd surrounding you as you walk your walk to the Subaru today.
Yeah.
The team Subaru. Vehicle. I don't know if I can do much to help you, man.
I'll be fine.
9:37.
They damage me. Their remotes and their broadcasts and their stuff get on the air are covered. So
they know that you help to make sure that their bread gets buttered.
So I'm really feeling pretty safe.
Okay. It is time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, 1948, Ben Hogan wins the PGA Championship, beating Mike Ternisa in the final round, 7-6. 1965, Muhammad Ali knocks out Sonny Liston a minute into the first round. It was the controversial rematch for Ali's heavyweight title, and so Ali taking down Liston. 1975, Golden State Warriors become the third team to sweep the NBA Finals. Golden State beating Washington 96-95. Butch Beard's foul shot with 9 seconds left. The game winner. 1978, Montreal wins their third straight Stanley Cup. The Canadiens beat Boston 4-1 in Game 6 to win the Cup. 1980, Johnny Rutherford wins his third Indianapolis 500 in 7 years. In 1991, Pittsburgh, led by Mario Lemieux, wins the Stanley Cup for the first time. 8-0 rout of the Minnesota North Stars. And also 2003, Julie Inkster ties the lowest final round score by an LPGA Tour winner, as Julie Inkster beat Lori Kane by 4 strokes in the LPGA Corning Classic. She shoots a 10-under 62. All right, 9:38, we'll take a break. More JUCO talk coming up next with Rob Fournier, the coach of Wabash Valley, Illinois. That's up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the Team.
Alpine Bank Junior College World Series starts this Saturday. Wabash Valley, Illinois, receiving the number 2 seed. They'll take on the number 9 seed, Snead State, Alabama, in the 3 o'clock game on Saturday. With us right now, the head coach of Wabash Valley, Rob Fournier. Rob, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Advantage of just being together, and we had 8 tarp poles, and
4-6 a.m. tarp pulls, and then it was just a wonderful experience, especially when you win four straight.
Rob Fournier, the coach of Wabash Valley, Illinois, joining us on the program today. So for you, Rob, I mean, this it's been, what, 2017 was the last time you were here with your ball club? It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has been a while for your club. The feeling that of being able to finally get back here for the first time in quite some time has to be thrilling for you and your ball club.
Absolutely. It's just such a deserving bunch, and we've been knocking on door like you talked about, and we had some difficult ones. We were so close, and some other teams that may have been more talented, but this bunch here we feel is like so deserving and so gritty to be out there. It reminds me a lot of the 17 team.
Rob Fournier, the coach of Wabash Valley, Illinois, with us. Wabash Valley finishing the year with a 52-6 record, number two in the nation. The number two seed in this tournament. I guess just your thoughts, Rob, about the seeding yesterday and being seeded number two.
Well, I mean, we are just excited, number one, to have the opportunity to come out here coming through. Obviously, like you talked about, Iowa Western is such a national power and legitimately one of the best programs in the past 10 years by far. So we're just pumped. The two seed is great. Looking at that tournament, it's hard to figure out if there's an advantage of anything, because once you're at this point, everybody's playing well and everybody's so good. There's just so many really powerhouses out here. So we're just pumped to be out here.
Rob Fournier, the coach of Wabash Valley, Illinois, joining us in the program. So, Rob, as I mentioned, you play on Saturday. You get Snead State, Alabama. They represent the state of Alabama, and their first time ever in the Junior College World Series. What have you heard about Snead State and Coach Casey Underwood's team?
Yeah, I've known Casey a little bit because we used to play them in the past, previous years, and it's been two or three years since we played them. But I can tell you one thing, he has done a wonderful job out there, and the program was developing the last few years, and so they're a dangerous bunch. I mean, obviously they're on extremely high, and that those teams that are playing really well at the end of the year and kind of go in there as the underdog type, those are dangerous bunch. So, we got our work cut out for us.
I know, Rob, when you faced Iowa Western to win the Midwest, that one of the things that Mark Reardon, when he was on with us earlier in the season, talked about was how strong their pitching staff was. But your bats come into one of the better offensive teams in Division One JUCO baseball. Well, you found a lot of answers against Iowa Western with that, particularly with that final game win, that 9-1 victory when you guys banged out 16 hits.
Yeah, that was tremendous. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Those the pitching staff that Iowa Western has was as deep as I've ever seen. It's just one of those deals where it felt like my wife and I talked about it. It was just our time. We were very tough, gritty, very disciplined bunch, and I felt like it was just our time to break through with the offense, no matter who was throwing. It didn't matter at the other day. It was kind of like the first game when we were up 4-2, and we had that rain. Well, actually, it wasn't rain delay. It was a night delay where we ran out of daylight. They continued to put, I think, 10 runs up on us in one inning. It was just their time there, and to our credit, we just responded. Just a tribute to our guys, how tough they were, and it's our time.
Now, one of the guys that played a big role in that 9-1 win that clinched it for you to get back to Grand Junction, Rob, was Knox Preston. Your catcher, he was 3-for-5. He scored a run. He drove in a couple of runs. On the season, the numbers aren't eye-popping or anything like that for Knox, but, boy, he saved one of his best offensive games for when it mattered the most, and that was to punch your ticket to Grand Junction.
I mean, I'm glad that you recognize that, because Knox Preston was the most clutch player we had all year. His average wasn't as high as these guys, but I'm going to tell you, every big game, Knox came through. And that's just on offense, but on defense, he was solid as in rocks. He was our leader. He took care of our pitching staff, controlled the running game, and just an amazing young man and what he went through. I mean, he had a concussion issue last year that he fought through, and got banged up this year, and we needed him every game. And I just can't say enough about that young man. He was a gritty young man.
Rob Fournier, coach of Wabash Valley, Illinois, with us on the program. Heading out to Grand Junction for the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. So, Rob, where are you guys right now? Are you still in transit, or where are you right now?
Yeah. We are in Kansas, and it feels like we're in Antarctica right now. It's windy and cold, and but we are going to one of our favorite places in the whole world, Grand Junction. So, yes, we will be there hopefully tonight.
Well, we've got 75-ish degrees out here and not too windy today for you. So it will not be like Antarctica when you show up to Grand Junction. At least I hope that is the case when you get here. We'll put it that way. Rob, one final thing. You know, your kids right now, they have not been to the Junior College World Series. What do you tell your kids about the experience, what to expect when they come out and play in front of some big crowds at Sam Supplizio Field?
Well, first of all, we just tell them it's just an unbelievable, special place full of just wonderful people that do such a, just a phenomenal job. They take so much pride in the event, and we just talk about, hey, how fortunate we are. But and I talked to a lot of them just about, we're going to soak it up, you know, whatever we decide to do, whether it's at a picnic, whether it's with our host families, whether it's just being at the ballpark, and, you know, we're just going to soak all that up until it's time to play baseball, and then we're going to flip that switch and let it rip.
Hey, Rob, have a safe trip, okay? We'll see when we get out of here. Thanks again. And one final thing we should mention, you're going in to the Coaches Hall of Fame when you get out of here as well on Friday night, so that's just so special, isn't it, to be able to be? I know it was going to be emotional and a special moment regardless whether you qualified your team or not, but now it makes it even more special, doesn't it, that you're going to be honored in front of your ball club?
Yes, absolutely. My family's going to be there from a sister from California, and it's just a dream come true. You know, I kind of wanted to just put it in the compartment and just deal with it the whole year because we kind of knew what was going on, but this is certainly a special time.
Well, Rob, congratulations. Well-deserved on your part. And once again, a safe trip out here to Grand Junction. We'll see you when you get into town. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So cool. I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. Rob Fournier, the coach of the Warriors of Wabash Valley from Mount Carmel, Illinois, joining us on the program this morning. Eight individuals will be going into the Hall of Fame. Jeff Johnson from Chipola, among them. Rob Fournier as well.
It's going to be good to see Double J.
We'll be good to see.
I haven't seen Jeff in a while.
I know Jeff would like to have brought his team here like Rob's doing, but I remember when Perry Keith came here with Connors State when he went in, and that was a special moment for him as well when your ball club is here and have that chance to be honored for what's been an impressive body of work as a coach in junior college baseball. All right, so don't forget, you can get all your you can get your tickets online, JUCOGJ.org. Starts this Saturday. Or catch every game right here on the team. We're going to have some contesting. We'll have a lot of fun. Ray McLennan, former Mav first baseman, Fertile Monument and Central Ed coach, he's going to be with us for our broadcasts. Likewise, Vern McGee, who was with us last year. Vern, former Central football coach, but people sometimes forget Vern played baseball at University of Wyoming when they still had a program. And so looking forward to working with those guys. Ethan Jordan with the Grand Junction Rockies, going to be part of it as well. You'll be out there.
Got a lot of dudes.
Greg, myself, and a lot of folks back here. They're going to be running games, yourself,
me,
and Joe
Tyler.
Beal. Tyler, Cake will be at back here as well.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention our buddy.
Kennedy! Matt will be back here as well. So it takes a village to put on the Junior College World Series, both from an actual playing game standpoint and from us doing them, but it's always a labor of love for us. So we'll have all the games on the team this weekend. Just a couple of programming notes because there's a lot of stuff going on this week. Tonight, we'll have the Avalanche pregame at 5:30 for that one. Coming up in just a few minutes, Jack Corgan and Jerry Schimmel from PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Final game of the series with the Rockies and the Pirates. So we'll have that coming up in just a little bit. But the Avs tonight, Connor McGahee, chance for the Avs to finish off that series with the Blues. And then on Friday, we'll have the Palisade Bulldogs taking on Cheyenne Mountain in the 4A state baseball tournament. J.J. Valentine's going to bring that to you from UCCS over in the Springs, and pregame for that will be at 9:20 on Friday morning, so our show will be cut a little bit short on Friday morning, but glad to step aside for Bulldogs baseball coming up this Friday morning, and then if they win, they'll play at 2:30. We'll have that game for you as well. Friday night, the CMU baseball team, they open up the Super Regional at Angelo State. We'll have that. Jeremy Bryant will have the call, and that'll be over at 95.7 The Monkey with pregame at 5:45 for that. Then they'll play at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and then possibly 5:30 on Saturday if there's a third game. A trip to Cary, North Carolina, and the Division II World Series at stake for the Mavericks. So we'll have coverage of their games on the Monkey 95.7. So make sure you tune into that starting on Friday at 5:45. All right. Do we have anything for garbage time? Do we need to?
No, I'm good.
You're good?
No, we got a good wine, though, from
well,
Mark.
Let me hear it.
So Mark Mancuso, whose son,
Ryder,
had a very good day. He was texted in a wine. My wine is about parents from Windsor, upset they drove over from Windsor in the snow to play baseball in 70-degree weather. Come on, parents. Your kids were playing in perfect conditions. Again, it's so much harder to drive west. We aren't complaining about travel to Colorado Springs this weekend.
So Mark, they were complaining about having to come over here?
Apparently, the way it sounds is they were complaining that it was snowing on the way over and then 70 when they got here. So,
Don't you want your kids to play in really good weather conditions?
Right.
What is wrong with you?
Some parents.
I just don't get that at all. Don't get that. That makes zero sense.
Yes, it does.